with their longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first-time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now, these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs. On 95.7, The Game.
I hope. Are you okay? Memory lane sometimes is a hard place to go.
I am so out, dude.
You're out? Well, no, Steiny's out, so you can stay.
From the 707, Dibs, how do you get cut from JV as a junior? Hey, 707, I wasn't very good, and where were my parents?
You were undersized.
Undersized, weak, with no skill. And, you know, had I not been the youngest of four, my parents probably would have, parented and said, hey, Danny, it might be time to try, tennis or musical theater,
buddy,
or ballet, bro.
That whole story, you should take that story as a huge compliment that your dad did that, because as a fourth kid, I'm surprised he even knew you.
Like, he even knew my name.
I've got three, believe me. That third is just a caboose. Just gets dragged all over the place. They're driving all over town to other people's games. He's just sitting there, and the only thing he gets, throw a ball in the trunk. As long as there's a ball in the trunk,
totally,
little person can come, because other than that, we don't know. Well, nobody's got time for third or fourth kids.
Yep.
What are we doing?
Well, especially with my three siblings, Mikey 1.0, Douglas, and the Caner, Hurricane Gale. They were a lot. So, yes, I was definitely the appendage. I was the plus one.
You're all a
lot. I was the mistake. But come on, Mom and Dad. It's
anyway,
like, your son is tiny with no real discernible skill. Can we steer him away from constant reminder of his failure?
Well, I tell you what we're going to steer away from today.
I'm so out.
And no doubt we're going to roll off the road at times and end up in Brandon Ayukville. But enough. However, I know we wanted to, at least you really wanted to get something off your chest, and I'd love to do this with you now. First of all, John Avello is going to join us in 45 minutes. John Avello is, he's just the man. He's the man. John Avello is one of the top odds makers in Vegas and is with FanDuel, and he's fantastic. And so the odds of the season, the things that matter for the Niners, this game against the Jets, how would things change if no Brandon, if no Trent, if no Brandon and no Trent, all of these things. The way that the odds and lines are moving, the spread on that game between the Niners and Jets has moved a point and a half since we discussed this.
Oh, wow.
From 5 down to 3.5. Why? We'll find out all of that with John Avello coming up at 3 o'clock. Jake Hutchinson out at Niners practice, and actually they had no practice today, cut down day. He'll help us make sense of all of that. He'll join us a little bit later. Doc Pandya also on Ricky Pearsall's injury and more blue jerseys and all of that annoying stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's start here, because suddenly today, with some quotes that have been thrown around, Josina Anderson, Tim Kawakami, and more, it feels to me, just in talking to you today, that your Trent Williams anxiety has gone up.
Oh, for sure.
Let's hear about
that. For sure. It's at least doubled. Yesterday was at a 2 out of 10, maybe 2.5, and now it's a 4, if not a 5, because of the reports we've seen. Josina Anderson's report about, you know, Trent wanting to get that real new money before he comes in, and he's resolute, and he's all, like, locked in on sitting out week one. And I know that you have been in an ottoman with your feet up, and you even sent a pizza emoji today about how the fact you were chilling, you were a pizza slice on a lounge chair.
Yeah.
You're just chilling.
I don't remember,
and I don't
what was
feel
on that emoji
that way. It was a pizza slice, and I didn't really get it, but it said chilling.
It said chilling on it,
right? Yeah. And I'm not so chilling, because I know that Trent Williams has sat out before.
Yeah, look, I'll show it to the YouTube audience. It's a pizza slice with pepperoni on
and
it,
sunglasses on, right?
Yeah. And legs that are crossed. It's chilling. That's how I feel about Trent Williams.
Yeah, I don't feel so chillaxed or relaxed about it, because I realize that this man has sat out an entire season before. Granted, different franchise, different situation, different organization. I do realize that this man has made a ton of money already, so he doesn't need the money. And Brandon Ayuk probably doesn't quote unquote need the money, but he's waiting for that big bag, so he's in a different place. And I look at Trent Williams, and I think that he is going to be more like Nick Bosa in that I'm resolute. I've said nothing this whole time. I've been really removed from the process. And he wants to get at least, I think, two more years of big bag guaranteed money, which he probably deserves. He's still the best left tackle in football.
Yeah.
And he's 36, whatever. It's a team that needs a left tackle. They need him. And he just wants to get his money. But you have an owner who is suddenly gone really tight on the purse strings.
Well, look, Steiny was about to ask a question that we threw out yesterday. I think it's a completely fair one. There are certain things I would argue that as a football team going into a season, you already know. If you're the Cowboys, are you honestly like, CeeDee Lamb? We're kind of lukewarm on CeeDee Lamb. No. So why do you wait till whatever they waited, August 26th? I don't know. You're stupid. You gained nothing by that. You gained absolutely nothing by waiting. There was never going to be a question that you wanted CeeDee Lamb, needed CeeDee Lamb, want him on that wall, need
Thank
him on
you.
That wall.
I always
you
love that.
Cannot survive, if you're the Cowboys, without CeeDee Lamb. And that's Trent Williams. So you will hear a very different tone from me if somehow we get to next week and Trent Williams is not figured out. Because that's just stupid. I'm sorry. That's just dumb. And the Niners, I have faith, are not dumb. They're not. I know everybody loves it's fun in sports radio. Let's take shots at these people.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later with anybody
sure.
who called the morning show and offended Kyle Shanahan. You're all crazy people, but we'll get to that later.
And they put the roast in morning roast.
I mean, my goodness. And Joe Spadoni, if you're listening, I love you like an absolute brother. But a Raider fan calling Kyle Shanahan a choker, not the way I needed to start my morning. Absurd. But anyway, we'll save it for later.
Okay.
But the Niners are not dumb. You can call them stubborn.
How about cheap?
No, absolutely not.
Well, if you're not cheap, then
Jed York's escrow account is probably the biggest in the NFL.
Well, then pay that man his money.
And that's what I'm saying.
I don't see that it needed to get to this point where we have Josina Anderson involved in Trent's business.
Maybe we don't, but I'd also argue that there still isn't a deadline anxiety clock attached to Trent. Not yet.
Well, we're getting there.
Maybe, because yep. next week, if it's game
week.
Well,
yesterday we had a spirited practice, and it would have been nice to have him be a part of the spirited practice,
yeah,
Trent Williams.
Would have been nice, but actually at age 36, I think they want less spirited. That's my point. I hear where you're coming from. Would it be nice to be over? Sure. Why is it still going? I don't know. Because they're all stubborn. They're all big boys. They all want big money. These are big-time negotiations. And they're stubborn. And quite frankly, the Niners, I would guess, are probably stuck on the idea that Trent wants to get broken off as one of the top players in the game, which he is. But he's also 36 and 330 pounds, which he is. And these two things fly in the face of one another, and stubborn people are having a hard time getting to the finish line. But they're not dumb. You have to acknowledge this with me. The Niners,
it's not as simple as dumb and smart.
I think it is.
I don't.
If Trent Williams has to be on the roster.
Sure.
He has to play in all the games.
This level of stubbornness is not smart, and you could have him signed, and you could still give him veteran days. He never practices on Wednesday during the season. So you could sign him and then say, all right, Trent, we'll see you on Friday. You don't have to like play this game of cat and mouse. And
well, maybe they're not.
When we sign you, then you can come in.
Maybe we're not. We haven't heard, this is not like Ayuk. We have not heard Trent Williams come out and be like, I'm livid with the Niners.
No, but
they
the fact
told
that
me
Josina
they don't want
Anderson
me.
Has a report out
yeah.
that says, you know, that he wants a certain amount of money and he wants guaranteed money
I'm
and
sure
he wants
does.
To be the But it's not only that he wants to be the highest paid tackle, he wants to be paid like the premium player that he is. And this goes back to Tim Kawakami from last August, a year ago, when he said, yeah, this team always does right by its premium players, and I'm that, and so I want to be paid like the premium player. And so you've had this on the table for a year,
yes,
but you haven't done it.
Right, because they're stubborn. And Parag
right.
wants to win deals, and that could become a problem.
I think it's already become a problem.
Well, again, I don't with Trent. Now, Brandon is not CeeDee Lamb or Trent Williams. There's a healthy debate there.
But who is he?
He's Brandon Ayuk.
Right. But is he Jalen Waddle? Is he AJ Brown? Is he Devontae Smith? Like, where is he?
I don't know. Who is he? But I don't know if any of those matter. To me, it's like, what is he for the 49ers? He's Brandon Ayuk, and there are debates.
Right.
There are debates.
And there are some people who think, come in and play your fifth year and ball out and then go out there and get the really big bag.
And I know a lot of people who are like, bye-bye, Brandon, go bye-bye.
Exactly.
I know people like that. I know people who think the Niners can't function without him. I know people that think he's the fourth best receiver in the game, and I know people who think he's the 14th best receiver in the game. That's my point. There's a debate. And so now you're going to get to a spot where two sides, healthy sides, I think, can disagree. And I think we do have it on pretty good authority that the Niners have, A, misplayed this from earlier in the summer, and B, Brandon and his agent are being a big pile of annoying so far here in this month of August. So that's where it is, and you tuck it over here. My opinion, you don't have to agree, if Trent Williams isn't ready to go next week, somebody's stupid. You can't do that. This is a flat-out non-starter. You can't play games without Trent Williams. That is a no.
From you?
From me. From them.
Dog?
From them.
Yep.
I've heard this from inside.
Of course.
They know.
Well, then get it done. Well, I don't know what it serves them to do it this way.
I'm with you.
Because you've got now Josina Anderson with reports, and Trent Williams is doing whatever he's doing. We know he's not playing football for the 49ers in practice. And yes, I know he's a veteran, 36, but you can't tell me that that's a good thing. It may not be a bad thing, but it's not a good thing. It would be... If he's your boombox guy and he's your leader, and we're now 13 days away from the opener and he's not there and Brandon Ayuk is not there, whatever. Brandon Ayuk, I think it's pretty clear with their roster cuts that they kind of are hedging the reality that he might not be there. They kept an extra receiver that they might not have kept if he was around.
But they did not keep an extra left tackle.
No, they didn't. And so they fully expect that to be done. Yep. But for me... It is not doing you any good to not have him be in there.
Maybe not.
And I'm not totally panicked yet, but Jed York, and this is a Jed York thing. It's not Parag Marate. This is Jed York being able to go to the safe and 27 right, 13 left, 71 right.
You know the code?
Yeah, you know.
We should stop doing a show and go do that.
Crack that, baby.
Yeah.
He needs to crack it open and get all those stacks and hand it to Trent and say, all right, Trent, we'll see you on Friday and stuff because we're going to be into Jets week now. Coming up here next week, when you and I talk next Tuesday, because of Labor Day, it's going to be Jets week, and he had better be in his number 71.
The director of sports operations at DraftKings, Johnny Avello, is a half hour away. You're going to want to hear that.
That's
now.
A real director of sports.
director of sports operations at DraftKings, Johnny Avello, joins us in 30 minutes. We'll take some calls next. I got some Brock Purdy stuff that we need to discuss. So we'll do all of that coming up next. 888-957-9570. Glad you're here today. It's Willard and Dibs.
No. Okay, you right.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, dog, can we talk about Brock Purdy for a second?
If we have to.
Yeah, I do. Listen, if we're going to sit here and spend the whole summer talking about contracts, and we don't want to and we won't. Got a bunch of stuff today. Lucas and you were batting back and forth some fun stuff earlier today.
Yeah.
The top five non-contractual related Niner stories this offseason.
Non-hold out. So I liked it.
We can play with that a little bit later, and I do want to respond on all the Kyle Shanahan stuff that got thrown out earlier today because it was offensive and unacceptable, and I won't allow it. That's just the way it's going to be. But food for thought. If this is what it sounds like this summer with contracts, and the Niners are hell-bent on winning the deal, and the fans show this much anxiety when big-name players are not all simpatico with the front office, if that's what 2024 sounds like, what are we going to do next summer? What are we going to do?
Well, he's going to change course. And by he, I mean Parag Marate. He's going to take his cue from the owner, who already said he's going to reset the market. So go ahead and just break him off in March and put all of this to rest, because I don't want to ever have to say the name Parag Marate again. It's not that I don't like and respect what he's done. I actually have a good friend who knows him personally, and she vouches for him as a person and him as an executive and all the rest of it. And so it makes me feel even better about Parag Marate and what he does. But I don't want him to be a part of my 49er football season, but he always is.
Well, he's like an offensive lineman. His name's not going to come up unless something's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spencer Burford.
Nobody is like... You know, when the McCaffrey thing happened, did anybody go like, oh, job, Parag. Way to go. Way to get it done quietly and quickly. Good job, Parag. Nobody did that. You only hear this, like, offensive lineman in holding. You only hear his name when a flag gets thrown. We got a couple flags on the field right now.
Big time flags.
Yeah, but
he went the wrong way on a third and goal play.
Maybe.
And, you know, Ayuk was open and you couldn't make the throw.
But next year... I know it's easy because Jed York spoke. It's not.
I think it's a lot easier than this.
I disagree.
It's easy because if you like the player, and I believe that they like the player,
a lot of
the
stuff
market
to happen.
Is there.
A lot to happen between now and then.
Well, if now and then, if everything that happens between now and then is good, then it's easy.
Well, that's
it. It becomes difficult if. Well, I mean, what does Brock have to do for this to not be something that you want to continue to do?
I don't know that that's the point. Brandon Ayuk has never done anything that somebody didn't want to have continue.
No, but he's replaceable. He's replaceable, and your starting quarterback is not.
That's funny. He is? I've heard you say all year they can't win a Super Bowl.
I don't think that they can.
Well, then he's not replaceable.
They think he's replaceable.
Maybe they do. Maybe they don't.
Because they haven't finished this.
I don't know. Maybe he's being unreasonable. That's
I don't think that the quarterback can be, quote, unreasonable.
Sure
he
can.
Is he going to ask for $90 million a year?
I have no idea what he's going to do.
I think that the quarterback would be much more reasonable just based on what the market is.
And if the 49ers, here's a premise that I see. If the 49ers are going to go to their players in general and say, look, just like they have with Brandon, you're very good. You're very valued. We need you and/want you. Here's what we can do. I know that Justin Jefferson got XYZ. I don't know if you've noticed, Minnesota doesn't even have a quarterback, nor are they trying to win anything. We are. And I don't know if you've noticed, there's amazing players all over the place. And all of them need to get paid. So here's what we can do. I know what the market's telling you, but here's what we can do. Why wouldn't they do that with Brock? Why wouldn't they? In fact, I'd argue you do it with Brock more than anyone, because you go to Brock and you're like, first of all, you've made $2.7 million in your entire life, and you have another season to play. Now, I'm not saying you mess with it and be unfair, but if you told Brock, oh, hey, by the way, yeah, we'll do the 60, but then both of your security blankets are gone. No Debo, no Trent. Or we could do 53 or 50 or 49. I don't know. I don't know where this is going. But to think, after where we've been, that the 49ers are just going to lay down and roll over because Brock's a quarterback, I disagree. And I think next offseason, oh my goodness, it's going to be... It's almost like the NBA, where the offseason's bigger than the season.
Disagree.
Okay.
And I don't think that we get past the draft without that being done, because Kyle Shanahan understands the importance of having QB1 in OTAs and in camp. And so that's different than a 36-year-old left tackle who, fine, you don't want to come into camp. We don't really even want you here in camp. We want you to rest and be healthy. And Brandon Ayuk, if you don't want to be here with your quarterback, you've already played a season and a half with him. We feel like you can be on the same page with him when you eventually come in, if you do. But QB1, that's a totally different calculus.
Of course
when
it is.
You've got a head coach who is offensive-minded. So I think if this year goes the way we all expect it to go, forget the team result. If Brock again looks good and a guy with accuracy, QB rating, the acumen, the decision making. He stays upright and he has a year and they finish wherever they finish and they want him next year. It gets done early because Kyle Shanahan wants it done early.
Maybe.
That's his quarterback. Yeah. That's my quarterback.
Yeah, and this is his left tackle. And his
different story.
And his leading receiver. Well, everything's different when it's the quarterback.
But well, the left tackle as an older Hall of Famer, I think that a lot of it is like, okay, wake us in the end of August. And here we are in the end of August, and now maybe we're all waking up to the reality that he's still not here. And Brandon Ayuk, I do think that that was just a simple miscalculation. They thought that he would cave. They thought that he would be much more willing to take what they offered. And he wasn't. And he dug in. And then he held in. And he made their life, not a living hell, but he made their life a little bit uncomfortable.
Annoying.
Yeah. He was more annoying than they thought.
Well, I'd say this. Even if you're right, and I'll buy that you're speaking the odds on favorite position right now, but even if you're right, that too leads to its own national debate. Niners just break off Brock Purdy's $60 million when half the world thinks he's the 16th best quarterback in the NFL. All I'm telling you right now is it is going to be loud next summer. It is going to be loud. It is going to be incessant. It is going to be very difficult for everybody to sort of like agree and make sense of. Because first of all, that's not our world right now. We don't agree and make sense of things. That's not who we are as a culture. And B, if you can't see that no matter what happens with Brock, there's disagreement, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Brock Purdy right now, based on numbers and data, is easily one of the top five quarterbacks in the game right now. Very few people think that the data matters in this case. And what do we know about negotiations? An agent is going to be like, data. And then the other side's going to be like, emotional feel, and we're going to argue,
of course,
and it's going to be a big flipping deal, because I've never heard a contract discourse among fans start earlier than this. This started right after the Super Bowl, and he wasn't even eligible for another
exactly.
year.
Exactly. Well, we've never seen a player do what he's done.
Very good point.
From Mr. Irrelevant to conference championship game and then Super Bowl runner-up in 2 years. We've never seen this before. So even at the end of this upcoming year, yes, he's eligible for an extension. Doesn't mean he has to get one. Now, he will get one because that's the way football works. But because of that, I think that they're going to be able to find common ground a lot more easily than they are with Trent Williams, who is 36 and rich and dug in, and now he wants what he wants, and you have to go to the owner and knock on his door and say, yeah, Trent wants $45 million guaranteed. I need you to get $45 million for me, Jed, so we can give a 36-year-old left tackle $45 million. We want to give him $28 million a year, $56 million, but he wants $45 guaranteed at signing. Will you do it? And Jed's like, God, I got to stop answering my door. We had Christian McCaffrey knock.
Oh, come on, it's
and
every
we
year.
Had Ayuk knock. But,
it's every year.
Well, and he had to call Juszczyk and say, you know, Kyle, sorry about that, but you're going to have to give some back.
This is the game.
It's the game, but it seems to be happening with more frequency and at a higher level than ever before.
That's because they have more good players.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, at some point, you're not going to pay all these good players.
Right.
And maybe it starts with Ayuk.
You have to go get new good players.
Well, you can't replace Trent Williams, so you're not going to find another new good player. You're not going to replace him right now.
Not now.
Well, but that's all that matters. You got 13 days till the opener.
No,
that's
see?
That's all that matters.
No.
Where are you going to find a left tackle?
Not to them. And therein lies one of the
problems.
You
don't have that much hubris.
What are you talking about?
Arrogance, Kyle. Let me bring up that tweet. Yeah. What else are people talking about? Kyle Shanahan.
That is.
Possibly.
That is absolutely one of the discords that takes place between the conversation that happens in our space and the conversation that happens in their space. They can't make it all about right now and nothing else matters. If that were the case, none of this would be happening. If the 49ers were like, you know, Kyle, it is Super Bowl or bust this year. I hope you know that.
He knows.
Don't say that to each other.
But he knows it is.
No, it's not. He's going to be back the next year. Watch.
He will, but who won't be?
It's not Super Bowl or bust. It is the same thing every year in every organization. It's Super Bowl or try again, or how do we get ourselves into a position where we can Super Bowl or try again? That's all it ever is. And you can't ask a front office to not think about the following year or the year after. They have to. It's their job.
It is, but you can't just go out there and find a left tackle. So, yeah, fine.
What happened last time?
Right. They went out and traded for him, yeah. And they happened to find a player who was disgruntled and available. That was rare.
Incredibly rare. Yeah. Again, you're going to have to replace your players. All of them.
Right.
You're going to replace
a guy who's getting paid $27 million, and you're going to go find a guy who's making $27 million and hope he's just as good?
No, it's not a question for this year.
Because you're not going to draft a left tackle when you're picking 28th.
You might.
You're not going to find a guy who's this good.
Might trade up. I don't know.
Yeah, it's risky. Trading up has not worked well for you.
But this is their job. They traded up to get Brandon Ayuk.
I get it. They traded up to get Trey Lance.
Yeah, I understand.
Captain Picasaurus.
That doesn't mean it hasn't gone well. It didn't go well that time.
Yep.
Like, anyway.
And they traded down to get Solomon Thomas. How'd that work for you?
Well, what'd they do with all the other picks that they got?
They got Reuben Foster.
Reuben Foster. Yeah.
How'd that work out for you?
It was good for about 7 days.
Something like that.
That's a couple months. By the way, quick aside, that's another reason that I'm going to pause before I tell everybody that this was a great draft for the Niners. Because I know the buzz right now, you literally cannot cross out any of their picks. Right now, as we sit here today, you cannot be mad at any of the picks. You cannot say, ooh, that doesn't look good. You can point to Ricky and his injury, but you cannot. The performance of this year's draft class in camp and preseason has been good across the board. You will not hear me say, oh, they nailed the draft.
Yeah, because you can't.
None of them have played a game
yet. Talk to me in 2027.
Thank you. We can talk before 2027, but at least wait till, I don't know, week 7.
Yes.
Let's see how they're doing.
One more on Reuben Foster before we go to the phones. He had red flags all over the board.
Of course he did.
And you traded back and you got that pick and you thought you were smarter than everyone because you thought you could fix it. Like Spicoli in Fast Times, for those of you old heads, I can fix it.
Was that all they got? Was it just that? They moved back one spot and got an extra first rounder? I feel like did they get more for that trade with the Bears?
You can Google it, but that was the marquee portion of it.
Right? Yeah, the Bears didn't do well with that trade by the way.
No, they didn't. The Niners got Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster.
Yeah, did any good players come out of that experience? No.
Yeah.
Unless there was more to it. Grandy's looking it up. While Grandy's looking it up, let's talk to Anthony in the Bay. Hi, Anthony. What's cooking, man? Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. What's happening with you guys? Thank you guys for taking the phone call.
Yeah, man.
You guys are hitting on all points today. Let me tell you guys, so much to talk about, so little time. I think as far as Trent Williams is going, I think I'm chilling with you on that Willard and Dibs. I mean, I'm chilling with it. I guess Will's chilling with it. I think we're going to sign him. I think what we got to do, though, is get rid of Ayuk. We need to get rid of him. He's just causing way too much distraction. I've never seen a Super Bowl based upon one wide receiver. I think there's many great wide receivers who have not made it to Super Bowl in one. So I think it's just on to the next. I think it's just the way the league goes. We could move on to the next receiver and see what happens. We cannot do without a left tackle and a quarterback. I just think that's where it's at. We need to get rid of Ayuk so we could pay Trent Williams and then pay our quarterback next year.
Well, Anthony, you bring something up that for me, and thank you, remains a total question mark, which is this. I don't know if the two are linked. And I wish there was someone who was really on the inside or would share on that. Doesn't exist. But I would love to know if in any way, like even in the slightest way, are these two stories linked? Like, is the discord with Brandon sort of making the Niners hesitant with whatever dollar figure Trent is asking for? And so they're sitting there going, okay, we kind of got to, Trent, hang out over here while we figure this out. Until we figure that out, we can't figure you out. Or are they mutually exclusive? I don't know.
Yep.
I would love for them to be mutually exclusive. That's what my brain thinks is probably true. I don't think that multi crazy billion-dollar organizations that operate at this high of a level would not only put themselves in a position of, we're not sure what's going to happen with Brandon, but also, if we're not sure what happens with Brandon, that means we're not sure what happens with our other key players. That would be a real bad way to do business, But I don't know if the two are linked in some sort of way.
I don't think that they're linked financially, but I think that they're linked philosophically, because I don't know if you saw the story earlier today. I saw it in The Athletic, where the Niners are spending $200 million to upgrade Levi's Stadium for the Super Bowl and the World Cup. So you take $200 million and you cleave that off and you put that aside for upgrades. And I know a lot of that money will come back with, you know, all of the revenue that you're going to generate from those two events, the World Cup and the Super Bowl. But that still is $200 million that you're taking out of your business budget and you're putting it toward upgrades for your stadium. So they're not a cash poor or a money poor organization. So I don't know if Jed York is thinking, geez, you know, Trent wants $45 million guaranteed, and I'm just guessing at the number, and Brandon wants $50 million guaranteed at signing. So that's $100 million. And geez, gee willikers, guys, I don't think that we have that much money to spend. That's not the issue. I do think it's a couple things. One is they want to win the deal. And the other thing is the precedent. So Trent's not happy at 36. And darn it, I want more money or I'm not going to show up. And Brandon Ayuk, I want a new contract or I'm going to show up but not really play. I think that the precedent is a part of it, where this organization doesn't want to have to keep going to their players and saying, oh, you're complaining? You get it. Daddy, I want ice cream. Okay, here's two scoops. Well, he got cake too. Here, have some pie. Have some cake and you get ice cream. Wait, what about me? Have some candy and cake and ice cream.
This is getting a little too close to home. I'd like you to stop now.
Well, and you know,
I'm over here. You should see my freezer.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat it.
Dad, do we have any dessert? I don't know. Pick from one of the 87 desserts that you guys have talked me into buying and putting in this house. And like a buffoon, I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
I'll go to my 8th grocery store and get your stupid request.
I get it. So my daughter had her second birthday on Sunday. And now it's chocolate cake, ice cream, chocolate cake.
Don't make me do the chocolate cake joke again, because Granny didn't get it yesterday.
This morning for breakfast, she's hit me. Do you want a bagel? Chocolate cake. You're not getting chocolate cake.
Do you know what the bigger problem with that is? Is there's an even older Bill Cosby reference to make there, but you can't make Bill Cosby references anymore.
No.
He did a whole comedy skit on Dad giving the kids the chocolate cake and the chocolate. The kids, everybody's all happy with Dad.
You can't do it.
No, it's terrible. I don't want to do it. I used to be able to kind of do a Bill. I don't want to do a Bill anymore.
Can't do Bill.
Bill's gross. But anyway,
can't do it.
You were saying, oh, Grandy's got the answer to the trade. Hi, Grandy.
Yeah, the 2017 draft day trade. The Niners moved down from 2 to 3.
To 3, yeah.
They also got back a third rounder, a fourth rounder, and a third rounder in 2018.
So they didn't get the Reuben Foster pick.
They used one of those picks to trade back
to
up into
up
the first round
and get Reuben Foster. That's what I thought.
They also used one of those other picks they got to get two other late round picks. One of them turned into Adrian Colbert. You remember safety from the beginning of the Jimmy Garoppolo era. And then they did a couple other moves. Ultimately, one of those picks from the Bears turned into Dante Pettis. Which was a major fail.
Exciting.
But the big one, the 2018 third round pick, 70th overall, that came directly from the Chicago Bears, next year's draft, the year following the trade,
and that
became Fred Warner.
Hey! Nailed the deal!
Totally.
Well, it sounds like 50 players came out of this in both directions, and one of them was good. But he happens to be the best linebacker in the game.
Sure.
Okay.
So you went from number two, and you got Fred Warner. Okay. That's basically the net.
That, dude.
You had Solomon Thomas struggling. Reuben Foster played about a year and change. He was amazing for about a month and a half. And then,
dude, my son bought a jersey.
Oh, boy.
And then we had to give it back.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Anyway, these trades are always, I mean, they're hard to track.
They
Thank
are.
You, Grandy,
but
for doing the legwork.
But the Niners won the deal.
Sure.
And I do have the tiniest soft spot for Dante Pettis. Just a tiny one. For two small reasons, neither of them are going to resonate with y'all, I think.
Boise, right? He's a Boise State.
No, no, that's
Washington.
Not one of them. Yeah,
oh,
he's
bad.
A Washington guy. Yeah,
he's been to Boise.
No, first of all, I did a one-on-one with Dante one time down at the 49er facility, and he wanted to talk food for like 20 minutes. I think we talked about tacos.
Okay.
I think he loves tacos. So
Should
I'm
have
like
a sign that he wasn't going to be very good at football.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm going to eat
he
it.
He actually kind of gave me a wink wink. He's like, don't let the team hear this because we're just sitting about talking about junk food and tacos. But I could sit there and talk about that stuff with anyone all day. So I was like, on a personal level, okay, Dante, you're kind of fun. And then it was that same year that, if memory serves, I don't know if it was week one or whatnot, but it was the home opener and the Pittsburgh Steelers were in town. And I took my kids to the game. We even got them down on the sideline. They got autographs from Jerry Rice. They had a day. And then the Niners went out and performed like poop. But they hung in there for a close game. And Jimmy Garoppolo, the legend that is.
The legend.
He drove them down in a close game right there in the fourth quarter. And with a couple minutes left to go, touchdown pass to Dante Pettis.
Wow.
Niners win! And then that was the end of that.
Pretty much.
That was the end of his career after
all right.
That.
That's a good story,
I didn't hear about Dante Pettis again until I showed up at Rainy Soldier Field. And wasn't he running? He was
Bear. He had a big catch.
He was on the Bears, and he got that ball where Justin Fields ran around in circles and then hocked it up down the right sideline.
Yep.
Ruined my life. Dante Pettis.
Dante Pettis.
But until then, he had me on his side. Just a little bit.
Just a little soft spot.
Yeah, tacos
all right.
And touchdowns.
There you go.
He had a hell of a touchdown catch, I think, in his NFL debut. It was the week before the one you're talking about at home against Pittsburgh in Minnesota. A great pass from Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's right.
A toe-tap touchdown in the back of the end zone. Then week two happened. Week three in Kansas City, Jimmy Garoppolo tears his ACL.
Tears the ACL, and we're on our way to Bosaville. Exactly. So, remember when Jimmy Garoppolo used to throw touchdown passes in the NFL?
It's wild, yeah.
Which is a centerpiece to a point I'd like to make later on in the show.
Well, you can make the point because it's a Shanahan-based point, and it also plays into what you're talking about with Brock Purdy because, when Brock comes up and you want to give Brock 55 or you want to give Brock 60 or whatever it is, well, you better still have Shanahan now because Shanahan is the QB maker. And you see all these other quarterbacks that Shanahan used to have, and they're all free now. CJ Beathard is out there.
You should answer this. 650 on our Xfinity mobile text line says, does he put cheese on his tacos? I don't remember him answering that question, but do you?
No.
You don't put cheese on your tacos?
No.
It's Taco Tuesday. I'm making the tacos
tonight. Right. Guru puts cheese on his tacos.
The kids will put the cheese on. If I put the cheese on the table, they're going to put the cheese on the tacos.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't believe that cheese belongs on tacos.
Most Mexican restaurants put the cheese on the
tacos.
They
will not
now.
Put the cheese in the tacos.
Some of the places I go to, they put the cheese on the tacos.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's authentic app because if you want to go to the authentic
Mexican
place.
On the refried beans and all of that. Like, they put the cheese on there.
I don't think so.
No.
Lettuce, sure. Meat, salsa, and that's it. Maybe a radish or two.
Radish?
Oh, yeah, crunchy and good.
Do you?
Cheese on tacos. Are you 8 years old?
I would like to be. It looks fun. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Guess what? He's just the best. John Avello, the director of sports operations at DraftKings. The odds, how they're moving, how they're going to move, your money. We can get into all of that. You got any money? Not if you've been listening to Dibs. But you should listen
that
to John
hurts.
Avello. I'm sorry about that. He's next. Couldn't resist on Willard and Dibs.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.